And here on The Naked Scientists, it's time to go back to Ben to find out how his distilling has gone.
Hello again, welcome back to Kitchen Science. While I've been down the pub, Chris has been keeping an eye on our distillation here, and I can see that in the bottom of his pear-shaped flask, he's actually collected a few millilitres of clear liquid. Chris, what's happened while I've been away?
Well, you missed the exciting bubble moment when all the beer frothed up. We've got a little pressure release valve, so that wasn't a problem. And what's happened? The alcohol and water mixture has come out of the beer and condensed at the top and has run down the tube and collected in this flask here. And now we have what should be almost pure alcohol in this glass.
So can we take that out and have a closer look at it?
Well, we're not allowed to drink it. That would be very bad for you. It's slightly yellowy, so that means that some of the products in the beer have come through as well as the alcohol itself, which is what you'd expect.
But it's nowhere near the colour of the beer, so presumably the compounds that make up the colours in that beer have been all left behind.
The vast majority of them have, yes, indeed.
Leaving us with what could be very tasty, but now almost completely non-alcoholic beer.
Well, there would still be some alcohol in there, but a much smaller proportion, as I said, most of the alcohol has come out into this flask. In fact, if you kept the process going, what would happen is that different compounds would come out of the beer. If we wanted to, we could pop another flask on and collect a different type of substance. In the whiskey distillation process, which we're looking at, indeed, it's very important that different stages of the distillation are siphoned off into different directions, and that is indeed the art of the whiskey distiller, is to control the flow of the fluid out of the initial barrel and into the final drink. Incidentally, you can't call it whiskey until it's been maturing in a barrel after the distillation process for 3 years.
So if distillation is such a useful process for separating and purifying different chemicals, other than making strong alcoholic beverages, what else do we use it for?
Well, it's fantastically useful for all kinds of things. I mean, taking crude oil, distilling it into paraffin, into kerosene, into gasoline, all the different kinds of oil, desalinating salt water to come up with fresh water and salt. Any sort of process where the boiling points of the liquids involved are more than about 10 degrees apart, you can use distillation to purify or identify individual compounds in a mixture of fluid.
So it's a really useful process we can use to separate out all sorts of things and get the different products out of crude oil and that sort of thing. But how long has distillation been used?
Distillation's been around for millennia. Originally, it was Babylonian alchemists in Mesopotamia. That's the first known set of distillation equipment. But it was refined into its modern form by, of all people, a Muslim Arab in about 800 AD. And in fact, the word alcohol itself is Arabic, and it means finely divided, which is very, very interesting. Of course, the Arabs, they used it to make perfumes rather than alcohol.
Okay, so I have been down to the pub, and in the time that I've been away, a little bit of liquid is collected in your pear-shaped flask. Now, for all I know, that could just be some water that you've put in there. So is there any way that we can prove that that's the alcohol distilled out of the beer?
Well, normally you'd measure specific gravity, and when you measure the specific gravity of the whiskey, customs and excise keep that section of the distillation process under lock and key so that the brewery can't cheat and say that it's stronger than it really is. But what we can do today, because it's too small to measure the specific gravities, we can just set fire to it and see burns. That proves it's flammable and most likely to be ethanol.
Brilliant. Well, obviously this is something we should do somewhere safe, I guess.
Of course, yeah. I would just like to point out that we have all been wearing safety spectacles and appropriate equipment, and we should do the burning in a fume hood.
OK, well, let's pour this liquid out into a beaker and take it to a fume hood, and let's see if it lights. OK, so we've come over to the fume hood now, and I see you're just going to pour that into a beaker. There's not a lot of liquid there, is there? There must be a couple of millilitres, is that?
Very, very small amount.
So let's see if we can get this lid. Ooh!
There was a flash of blue.
Well, that was very brief, but there was clearly a flash of blue flame there. That did ignite. So I guess this proves that you have, in fact, distilled alcohol out of beer.
That is correct. Probably what you've got here is a slightly larger proportion of water than we wanted, but a lot of the alcohol came out in one go. Yep.
And that's all we have for Kitchen Science this week, but we'll be back with more next week. So I'd just like to say thank you to Chris.
Thank you very much.
And goodbye.
Cool. So by heating a low alcohol drink and collecting the vapour as it evaporates, you can condense it back into alcohol. So you could even make spirits if you wanted to. Not recommended at all.